Well, like I said, I need the Lord's help today because I think he took me in a different direction. So, hey, cut all those scriptures that I gave you, Debbie. I think I'm going to have a few different ones today because we endeavor to go with the Holy Spirit, right? What does the Lord want to say? He knows who's here today. He knows what you need. So if what I say today to you, what you hear the Holy Spirit saying today, know it's because he knew you would be here. He knew what you needed. He knows what you've been going through, and he knows exactly where you are. I believe it is going to go along the theme of what we've been having here at High Point on our series entitled God Loves You. A simple title for a simple revelation with profound effects on our life. I've told you guys ever since we started this series on God's love for us that I consider this to be, if you can only get one thing revealed to you, if you can only have one thing God sheds the light on in your life and you come to grasp, it is God's love for you. If you can get this, it will produce so much light in your life in so many different areas. It'll make your faith go out the roof. It'll make your joy level increase. It'll bring you more into peace. It'll give you a lot of the things that you've been searching for in so many different ways in your life. And it is God's love for us and knowing his passionate love for not just us, but for you. Say it with me this morning. Say, God loves me. And he does. God loves you as an individual. And I believe God wants to get across to us through this series of teachings how much and how passionate he is for each one of us as individuals. You know, a lot of us have had a skewed view of God because maybe we had a poor upbringing. Maybe we had parents that really didn't love us well. We had maybe people that were over us that abused us. Maybe we had a father that just was not really there for us. Unfortunately, we live in this sin-cursed, fallen world where people can have the right to make poor choices. And so a lot of times when our authority figures in our life have not really lived up to what their calling is, it can make it really difficult for us to see God as any different. But I'll tell you something that is actually my testimony, which is a little bit different. I was actually raised in a really good family. I had a mother and father that did love me very well, that were together and had all those different things. Yet, you know what the Lord told me before? When I had experienced love in a good, healthy way on this earth, the Lord told me before, he said, you need to understand, Trey, that my love for you far transcends your parents' love for you. So I had to understand this at a whole different level. And I believe there's people here today that you need to understand that even if you've had a negative experience in your life. You need to know God is not like some other person. He is good when we are evil. Amen? He is faithful even when we are faithless. God is a good God, and he's got a good plan for each one of our lives. So what we've started out talking about is how it is important for us to come to know and believe this love that God has for us. 1 John chapter 4 teaches us that we have known and believed the love God has for us. And we found out that the word known there is not the way we traditionally use the word know. When we say, I know something, we are basically saying, oh, I've just mentally assented to some fact. I'm acknowledging that something is true. But when it comes to knowing something like God wants us to know it, when he wants us to know him this way, he wants us to know his love this way, it has more to do with an experiential, intimate kind of experience. And that's how he wants you to know his love. You remember I used that kind of the differences in how you can know somebody. You can know somebody just by knowing about them or of them, or you can know somebody by actually spending some time with them and becoming their friend. But then there's another level of knowing somebody that only a husband and a wife are supposed to share. There is an intimacy. And that's what the Bible's talking about when it comes to how we can know his love. Amen? And that shows us that there is a whole lot that you and I can grow in this particular area. Amen? Because a lot of times when people bring this up, if a preacher stands up and says, hey, I'm going to talk about God's love for us, you know what a lot of people's reaction is? They say, I already know that, preacher. I already got that. No, what they mean is I've already come to acknowledge that it's true, but what I've come to find out is you don't really know something until you get excited about hearing it again. The person that says, I don't really want to hear that again, I've already arrived there, you are so far away, you don't even know it. When you are getting excited, when it works in your, when it's working in your life, man, that's the only thing you want to hear preached. It's the only thing that your heart's attached to because you are valuing it the way God describes for us to value it. So we've got to know it in this way, but we also got to believe it. You got to believe God's love for you, not because of your experiences. You know, I just talked about how knowing is experiencing. But a lot of times, too many people, they're trying to base their knowledge of God's love and they're wanting to believe in it based on what they have experienced. And that's not the way we should be either. There's a lot of negative things that come into our lives. There's a lot of bad things that have happened in our lives. We've experienced some pretty bad stuff. But none of that is a reflection of how God feels about you. So that's what we started talking about last week. I called it sovereign love. And I started teaching on this idea of the sovereignty of God and the mentality that a lot of people have concerning how God operates and how God does things isn't necessarily true. I mean, the basic belief system that comes into a lot of people is, well, he's God, right? How many of you agree? He's God. He's all-powerful, right? You believe that? Well, if he's all-powerful and he can do anything, then if something happens in my life, whether good or bad, it's because God must have somehow decided to let that happen in my life. And that's where a lot of poor theology comes in, where people will say, oh, well, I guess God just allowed that bad thing to happen in my life. Not necessarily. We live in a sin-cursed, fallen world where God has given the earth to man. And there is free will. There is a choice that we have been given to make certain decisions. So, kind of like that whole idea that people have and say, well, everything happens for a reason. How many of you ever heard that before? Everything happens for a reason. Well, I like to say it this way. Yeah, sometimes that reason is because we're stupid and we make dumb decisions. Amen, Pastor Trey. Thank you for letting me know that today. I have made a lot of dumb choices in my life. I'm not proud of it, but the fact is, I have made my bed and had to sleep in it. And I can't blame that on God. I can't even blame it on the devil. The devil didn't make me do it. Now, he can come and tempt you and make you do some things, but I think a lot of times we are doing this blame-shifting thing of trying to push it all off on somebody else. Like modern-day psychology that tries to do with us is, oh, I am the way I am because of what my dad did. Because of what my mother was, because of how my bus driver looked at me when I was a little kid, all kinds of stuff. And people try to give an excuse to this. No, we choose things. We choose things. Now, we didn't necessarily choose the bad things to come in our life, but how we responded to them, we did. How we react to them, we do. And this is good news. This isn't bad news, because what it teaches me is I can choose today to think different. I can choose today to respond different. I can learn from my mistakes. And now I can make some adjustments in my life so that those things don't happen anymore. This is why I'm so good at pastoral counseling. Praise God. Because it just draws back. You say, all right, so we did this and this happened. Okay, well, let's go back. What if we don't do that anymore? What if we don't make that choice that led to that choice and then this? I'm telling you, I've kept myself out of a world of hurt by learning from my mistakes. And a lot of people will tell you, well, I learned a lot through the trials that I went through and everything like that. Well, maybe that's true. But I can learn that it's not good or healthy for me to go over to this brick wall right here and beat my head against it. But what's a better way to learn? To learn how somebody else beat their head against it and don't do it. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Not just for the fried chicken, but for this good manna that we're getting right now. But this is true, and this is liberating. This is something that we need to learn. God loves you, and he has a plan. He has a purpose. And if we follow his plan, if we do things his way, He said, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. I will deliver you. I will protect you. I will bring my goodness to pass in your life. Amen. But the fact is, there's a lot of things that do happen that seem to derail us, that get us off of what God seemingly has planned for us. So I want to share with you a little testimony this morning from my own life that I believe will really help some people in here. Because when it came to receiving God's love, I was actually one of these people that even though I was on the dean's list of sinners. I mean, I'm telling you, there's probably not too many people in here that did worse things than me, B.C. You know what I mean by B.C.? Before Christ, right? There was a lot of bad that I did. There was a lot of mistakes that I made. Yet, I was born and raised in this Christian family. I had parents that actually walked with God, and they exemplified this to me. I see a lot of y'all nodding like, I can relate to Pastor right now. Well, you're going to relate to where I'm getting to. And I was raised in a great atmosphere. And this is something that you parents and grandparents need to take away from this. A lot of times the devil likes to come in and make you think that you did something wrong by how your children or your grandchildren turn out. How many of you have ever thought that before because they made some poor choices that you were like, man, if I would have done this better, or maybe if I would have known this more. I think we've probably all felt that before. Well, did you know that the most perfect parent that ever existed on this planet, God, had children that made mistakes? In the garden, you know I'm referring to. I mean, the perfect environment. He provided them with everything, yet they made poor choices, proving to us that it doesn't matter how great you do things, free will allows choices to be made, because that's what love does. So I ended up making a lot of poor choices. I ended up just doing a lot of different things that I am not proud of to this day, and made a lot of poor mistakes. So at around the year of 2000, I get invited to go to a church service. Now, being raised in a Christian home, okay, I had a lot of experiences. I saw my parents cast demons out of people. I mean, my dad used to answer the phone, "Jesus is Lord." So all my sister's boyfriends that wanted to date her, they'd call up, and my dad's answering, "Jesus is Lord." He said people would hang up all the time. They're like, "I'm not dating that girl. Parents are crazy." So I had a lot of great experiences and all this, to the point to where when I was out in the world making all these poor choices, I remember one specific time I'm sitting outside at a bar called Spirits. You know, there's a reason why it's called Spirits. There's a lot of spirits like to go there too. And I'm sitting out there and I get a few in me. And I start preaching. I start pointing up at the moon. You know, there's a God that made that. I was a good drunk preacher, praise God. And when I was under the influence, a lot of those things would come out. I remember one night I'm hanging out. I was born and raised in Athens, Georgia. I'm hanging out in downtown Athens and up all night doing hardcore drugs at a particular bar. And I remember I leaned down, did some drugs, and I get up. I went, "Oh, you know I'm going to be a preacher one day, man." I knew it. But, you know, and that's amazing. He looked at me like I had two heads. He was like, "Are you serious? Look what you're doing right now." And I ended up, of course, in that year 2000, I get invited to go to church. So I knew enough that God existed. I just wasn't willing to submit to him. How many of y'all have had that experience? You might have known God was real, but you weren't ready to lay your life down. Yeah, we've all experienced that. Some of us might be walking through that right now. And I end up going to church that night, and I remember there was this female evangelist standing up there. Thank God, Beth Stevens is preaching the gospel. And I'm sitting back in the middle section of the pews, towards the back, like we have the tendency to do when we don't know. And I'm standing back there, and I remember when she was giving this altar call, it was like I had eaten for dinner that night a bunch of metal. My belly is full of metal, and this altar was a magnet. And I'm not saying metaphorically. Literally, I'm standing there, "Ooh, I'm getting wooed, I'm getting pulled. And I had enough knowledge of God to know something was happening, and it was time. And I went up to that altar, and like a hurricane, my life was transformed to where the next few days, I remember I'd wake up early in the morning. And y'all know Pastor Trey, if he wakes up real early in the morning, it's either God or Papa John's Pizza or something like that. I mean, I get up and I am on fire. I start reading my Bible. It starts opening up to me and I start telling people, oh, did you know it said this? Because why? The Holy Ghost came and lived on the inside of me. My life was changed. My life was transformed. I was never the same again. So for the first 4 years of my born again experience, man, I was in a bubble to where if I was not eating, sleeping, or working, I was in the Word and I was in prayer. And God started pouring things in me. Things started happening in my life. But when that happened in my life and I knew the transformation that occurred, this is what I was saying earlier, I was not one of these that really struggled with receiving God's mercy and His goodness and His love. And the reason why was not because of why some people do. I knew, or I had an intuition, I guess, that God would be merciful to me when I decided to turn my life over to Him. So I didn't have the struggle of, oh, I did all these bad things. I knew it was under the blood. I knew it was washed away. I knew I was a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I was this new creation. But the problem I had and the mistake that was made in my life was that after those 4 years, I started hanging out with certain people. And these were church people, and it wasn't necessarily bad things, but I wasn't spending the time with God that I used to, and I started having things start resurface in me. I want you to understand something. The things that are in your flesh are still there, whether you're a born-again believer or not. When the Bible says you become a new creation, old things have passed away, behold, all things become new, that is not talking about what's in your flesh. The desires you had, the things you were capable of doing before Christ, they're still in your flesh. And if you cater to that, if you nurture that, if you yield to that, every person in here is capable of falling back under certain things that you did before Christ. Now, that's not bad news. It's just the truth of the matter. You got to realize that. But here's the thing. I started nurturing those things. I started yielding to those things. And I ended up doing some things that if you'd have told me I would have done them a couple of years before that, I'd have called you a liar. I mean, it was kind of like Peter. When Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. No way, man. I'm with you to the end. And Jesus gave him a revelation. He said, man, before the cock crows, buddy, you're going to deny me these three times. And he ended up making those mistakes. And I believe Peter had a lot of the same feelings that I had, and I had the same feelings as him. There's one thing to miss it before you knew any better. There's another thing to miss it after you did. And sometimes we can have a hard time forgiving ourselves because, or receiving God's forgiveness, because it's just, I knew better. I shouldn't have done that. And that's where I was at. These bad things that I ended up doing, it just derailed me. Now, I tried to get back on the tracks. I tried to get back to loving and serving God. These different things started happening, but I just wasn't finding the ability. It was like all the grace that I had for those first 4 years was gone, which is an alarming thing, because then you start wondering, has God left me? Has God forsaken me? Have I, because I did it when I knew better, have I now gone too far? And I even had scriptures coming to me. The ones from Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10 that talk about if anyone sins willfully, after they've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Scriptures that are in your New Testament that I believe are a little bit misunderstood, but I didn't know any better. I started having these verses come to me. And of course, you can start thinking, God's telling me these verses. Who else is going to tell me Bible scripture? Well, I'll tell you who will. The devil. And the devil was giving me things to condemn me and to make me feel like there is no more hope. You might as well just quit. You might as well just go back and do the things that you used to do. God's done with you. He's through with you. But then, thank God, I remember one time I was working at a bank in Oconee County, which is just outside of Clark County, Athens. And I remember I went on my lunch break one day, and I remember this vividly. I went to a little park there. I'm sitting in my car, and I'm crying. And we were joking about it in our house the other day. Levi was talking about, how many times do you cry in a year? And I said, probably one. It's not usually who I am, you know. And I remember, though, I was at my wit's end, and I was just slobbering all over myself. It's just, I'm like, God, are you done with me? Are you through with me? Are you finished with me? Because I'm hearing and feeling all this. Well, the next day, I woke up, and I hear something on the inside of me. And it said this, just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart. And then I heard it again. Just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart. And I'm going to just tell you how smart your pastor is. It took me about 4 or 5 hours before I realized God was talking to me. I don't think y'all got that right there. It took me a long time to realize God was talking to me. And I started realizing, wait now. I keep hearing this in my heart. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. And I had enough sense to know that phrase that I was hearing was in the Bible somewhere. Would you want to know where that's in the Bible? Let's go in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. He said, just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart. Now, this wasn't anything that I was reading recently that just came back to my memory because it was something that I was listening to a sermon on or reading in my daily Bible reading or anything like that. This was something that was something that where I was aware it was in the Bible because I'd read through the Bible, but I didn't necessarily know where. So I had to go look it up, and I found it. It was in Philippians 1 and verse 7. Now, when you read this, let me give you a good tip on how to read your Bible. Even though this verse is obviously what the Apostle Paul was writing to a church called Philippi, it is what God is saying to you. Because why? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So Paul was being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. And while in the time it was written, I'm sure the church of Philippi was reading like, oh man, thank you, Paul, you think this way of us, and so forth. It was at the same time the Holy Ghost talking to us. That's why I like to call this book right here God's love letter to me. God's personal love letter. And you should probably write that in the front of your Bible. Because it is God attempting to, in His love and through His love, convey truth to you that will show you what He will do for you, what He's already done for you out of His love. So I read this, and it says in verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. So the only hurt phrase that I was hearing was that first little phrase there. But you know what I realized? That when I went and looked this verse up, if God is saying to me, just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, there's evidently something that was said before this, which is what He's thinking of me. Amen. So guess what I did? I went and looked up the verse before. And check out verse 6. He says in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, hallelujah. So what the Lord was saying to me was this. He was saying, Trey, I'm confident of this very thing. Now, this isn't just His word to Trey. This is His word to Julia, Cameron, Terry, Barbara, everybody in here. The Lord is confident of you. confident in you. Now, what this should remind you of is some scriptures, like say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when it talks about what love is. Love suffers long and is kind. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Now, if God is love, then this means this is the way God is. So God believes in you. God hopes in you. What does that mean? That means that God actually anticipates you making good choices, you getting to the finish line, His perfect plan coming to pass in your life. Have you ever wondered how on earth God could call these 12 disciples to follow Jesus, who had all of these mistakes, all of these flaws, were so rough around the edges, and God calls them, and not only this, spends the 3 years with them, and then leaves them? I'm like, no, God, don't put that much faith in them. We already saw what they were capable of throughout your ministry. So why would you expect them to do any different? It's because love believes all things. It's because love hopes all things. It's because love sees the finished product and doesn't just see the flaws and the faults that are before us. God, who is omniscient, sees the beginning from the end, and He's confident that you will be perfected to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the way He looks at you. So God's telling me, Trey, I'm confident of this very thing. Of what very thing, Lord? That He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. Now, I could go back and I would be like, oh yeah, Lord, you did begin a good work in me. Man, when I went to the altar, man, there was no doubt in my mind. I was born again. My life was transformed. And so what the Lord's telling me here is that the good work that He began, He will complete it until the day Jesus returns again. You know what that, I love that phrase right there. Don't miss that. Until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? He never stops working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Until the day of Jesus Christ. That means He'll never be done working on you. He'll never quit you. He'll never say, man, too many times they've done this. I mean, do you remember Jesus comes to His disciples and says, starts talking to them about how they should forgive somebody that does something to them, right? And I love what Peter did. Peter comes to Him thinking really highly of himself right here, I can promise you. And he comes to Jesus and he goes, well, Lord, everybody kind of wants to know this, but how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to, watch this, guys, 7 times. I guarantee you he was expecting to get a pat on the back of Jesus going, wow, Peter, no, man, I'd never ask you to forgive somebody 7 times and just say, you know, it's just a couple, 3 times, and then after that, you can give them the boot. He was expecting to get that pat on the back, I can guarantee you. But the Lord says, no, Peter, I don't tell you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7, 490 times. Now, I can promise you there's nobody in here that's ever had a person offend us in the same way 490 times. But I don't think the Lord was meaning that on the 491st time, then you can give them a piece of your mind. I don't think that's what he meant. I think he was just using a play on words with numbers to describe unlimited forgiveness. Say unlimited forgiveness. So I got a good question for you today. If the Lord gave a group of disciples who had not been born again yet, who had not been filled with the Holy Spirit yet, a standard such as this, do you think God is going to have a less standard on Himself for you? You think God's going to be like one of these that says, oh man, you go forgive them 490 times, but I'm going to sit back here and if they miss it 6 times, I'm going to. No. God is not going to give you a standard that He Himself is not first willing to do. So what that means is It doesn't matter how many times you do it. Now, that doesn't mean you go out there and do it over and over expecting Him to continue to forgive you. That's not the message that's being conveyed here. The message is, if I stumble, if I fall, I got a God who is faithful and just to forgive me of sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And He didn't put any criteria on it and say, that's of course if you've only done it six times. 1 John 1:9 is describing the same thing we just see in Matthew 18 about God's unlimited faithful love for us. So what the Lord was saying to me is, Trey, the good work I began, I will complete it. There's nothing you could have done that I will not redeem you from, that I will not cleanse you from. If you'll come to me and confess, if you'll come to me depending on that forgiveness, you can be forgiven. I'll never quit you. I'll never fail you. Why? Because love never fails. You know what that means? Love never ends. Love never quits. Love never ceases. Amen. So that means that His love for you, His passionate grace and love for you is unending. It's a faithful kind of love. And so what I want to encourage you with this morning is that God knows the choices you were going to make. He'll know the mistakes that were happening in your life. He knows where you're at. Yet His grace is sufficient. He didn't say, my grace is insufficient. It's sufficient. It's always enough. So if I'll just get up, as long as I get up off the mat, I never will get knocked out. Amen. I love that Peter said that. He's struck down, but, you know, I'm not knocked out. I love one translation that says, I've been knocked down, but I don't get knocked out. Amen. We need more Rocky Balboa Christians. That you get bloodied up, boom, 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 boom. I mean, your face is all like this, and you're yelling out, Adrian! Yet you keep fighting, and you keep coming, and down goes Creed. Down goes Mr. T. And even that big Russian over there, he goes down too. Some of y'all are going to have to go watch the series of Rocky now, because you know I have no idea what I just said. Amen. Because God is faithful. Amen. Amen, amen. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hey, y'all write down, on April the 30th, 2023, Pastor Trey used one passage of Scripture in his sermon. This is worth noting, because it usually don't happen. It's the Holy Ghost, though. How many of you were helped by that message today? That God was talking to you. God's speaking to you. I'm telling you, we need to be encouraged by His faithful love, by His faithful goodness in our life. This is something that I see as a real struggle in a lot of believers. That we need to let it dawn on us. Man, God never fails. He is faithful. He is more good, more gracious than we have ever experienced on this earth. And I am so thankful for that. How many of you are thankful for His faithful love in our life? Father, we thank You today that You are faithful even when we are faithless, because You cannot deny Yourself. Well, I guess the Lord's not going to let me just use one scripture. I want to encourage somebody with something today. As you're standing there in an attitude of worship, I believe that there's somebody here today, by the Holy Spirit, I believe there's someone here today that your concern is not with yourself, but with somebody who has passed on from this life before you. That someone has gone on and you've lived with a lot of concern, a lot of regret, and wondering where their eternal destination is. I want to share with you another testimony real quick. This is something the Lord shared with my dad when his dad passed away. My dad had a dramatic conversion like I did. And he wanted so bad for those around him to experience the same thing he did. So he'd go to his dad and try to witness to him. And finally, his dad got upset about it and said, look, I went to the altar when I was such and such age, and I don't want you to tell me anything more about this. Leave me alone about it. And so he just took his hands off. Well, his dad ended up having a heart attack and passing away. And my dad was very troubled of where he was at. And the Lord spoke to him concerning this from a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 that says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. My dad was reading this passage of scripture, and this is what the Lord said to him. He said, Lonnie, my dad's name's Lonnie. Actually, my name's Lonnie too. Don't call me Lonnie Cameron. The Lord said to him, he said, your dad died with me. Now he shall also live with me. He said, he did not endure, therefore he shall not reign with me. But he never denied me, therefore I will never deny him. He was faithless, but I remain faithful, because I cannot deny myself. And that moment, my dad had a peace of knowing where his father was based on that rhema word that the Lord gave him. So I want to encourage you today, don't ever prescribe on anybody that you know where they're at or where they're not. What you might not know is how faithful God is. What you might not know is how good he is and how much he's going to move heaven and earth to make a grand entrance to every person that calls on the name of the Lord into the everlasting kingdom of glory. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you today for your word, for your message by the Holy Spirit today. And we thank you so much today for encouraging us with this and for the grace you give us that helps us to know that, Lord, you never fail. You never quit. You are a good, good Father who's always good to us. We love you and we bless you for it. In Jesus' name.